The Principles That Should Control the Lord's Workers, December 24, 1901. In the 12th chapter of 1 Corinthians is taught a lesson that we must all learn, for we are probationers. As the chapter is read, let everyone consider the meaning of every word. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. Verses 4, 5. In the master's service, to one man is given a line of work that he can do, and to his brother is given some other line of work. No man should use his measuring line on another man's work, dictating to him the precise manner in which he should labor, because he himself has a certain class of work to do. Altogether, too much of this kind of measuring has been done. Let every man receive his instruction from the Lord, and keep his lips closed, passing no opinion in regard to the course of his brother, who is answerable to God, and not to any finite being. If through lack of patience and kindness a brother or a sister has erred, if the oil and the wine have been hurt by strong or injudicious words and ill-advised actions, let the wrong be confessed to the injured ones, in order that the stumbling block placed in the way of others may be removed. Let no spirit of lording it over God's heritage be manifested, for such a spirit causes unhappy feelings among brethren. Often the sisters increase the difficulties that have originated on account of selfishness. By a strife of words, they cause alienation. My sisters, if you wish to keep in the light of Christ's countenance, talk less and pray more. Do not take exaggerated views of existing circumstances. Help your companions to become Christ-like in the expression of their feelings. But above all things else, I must tell my brethren that, by hurting the feelings of one another, they have greatly marred God's cause. In planning and advising, ministers of the gospel should be judicious. They should not let Satan obtain any advantage. Let every one be sure that he has confessed every wrong and taken out of the way of others every stumbling block, that the Spirit of the Lord may pardon him and heal the wounds that his sin has made. Let all be cautious in regard to judging and condemning others. Those who are themselves far out of the right way often express unkind opinions in regard to the work and motives of others. In such cases, silence is eloquence. Keep your lips from speaking guile, and bear in mind that there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. Verses 6, 7. In this scripture, a variety of gifts is specified. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another, faith by the same Spirit, to another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another, the working of miracles, to another, prophecy, to another, discerning of spirits, to another, divers kinds of tongues, to another, the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. For as the body is one, and hath many members, and all the members of that one body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit. For the body is not one member, but many. If the foot shall say, "Because I am not the hand, I am not of the body," is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, "Because I am not the eye, I am not of the body," is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it hath pleased him. And if they were all one member, where were the body? but now are they many members, yet but one body. And the eye cannot say unto the hand, I have no need of thee, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. Nay, much more those members of the body, which seem to be more feeble, are necessary. And those members of the body, which we think to be less honorable, upon these we bestow more abundant honor. And our uncomely parts have more abundant comeliness. For our comely parts have no need, but God hath tempered the body together, having given more abundant honor to that part which lacked, that there should be no schism in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it, or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. And God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers, after that miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Have all the gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. Verses 8 to 31. What a lesson this scripture teaches! There is to be an active exercise of the various gifts in one body, the head of which is Jesus Christ. Let no member of Christ's body entertain a spirit of self-sufficiency. Because two members do not act the same part, let not one member say to another member, I have no need of thee. Among the members of the body there is to be no crowding, no judging, no measuring of one gift by another. Many gifts are called for, yet all are members of one body. All jealousy, evil surmising, all evil speaking must be put away. Those who have cherished such a spirit should repent before God, for they have dishonored him. Die to your natural selfishness. Then forever bury the hateful spirit that has been so ready to spring into existence and to live within you, strengthening selfish feelings and corrupting spiritual life. Let everyone ask himself the question, where do I stand in this matter of creating difficulties and alienations? This question is before us for consideration. Everyone must answer it for himself. It is a question that concerns our relation to the Lord Jesus and his work upon the human heart. Christ says, that servant which knew his Lord's will and prepared not himself, neither did according to his will, shall be beaten with many stripes. Luke 12, verse 47. These words mean much. Many have so meager a knowledge of God. This is one great reason that there are so many in our world who are not decided Christians in every sense of the word. How much sweeter and more wholesome would be their service for Christ if they were less self-sufficient, less suspicious, less prone to imagine evil of others. They are continually getting farther away from the spirit of unity that Christ prayed might exist among his disciples. To think evil is not profitable to the health of the soul. Placing others in a false light, they act as if their false estimation of them were correct. Therefore, they cannot possibly help those whom otherwise they could strengthen and bless. We all have hereditary and cultivated tendencies to wrong. In different members of the human family, peculiar characteristics appear, which are the result of education and training. Some of these phases of character are of an objectionable stamp. If one who possesses peculiarities of disposition cannot see the evil results of cherishing and strengthening them, he will surely come to believe that these evils are virtues, when in reality they are like parasites, sapping and destroying his spirituality. Their growth in his soul will kill the growth of grace in other souls. For because others do not accommodate themselves to his peculiar tone of spirituality, he treats them as sinners. How much better it would be for everyone to cultivate that faith which works by love and purifies the soul of its evil tendencies. We should earnestly and determinedly take up the work of overcoming hereditary and cultivated tendencies to wrong, making daily progress in the spiritual warfare by gaining daily victories. Let us all engage in an earnest, determined effort to form a pure and undefiled character. Those who have had many advantages and privileges need now, as never before, to understand their own peculiar temperament and disposition, and to see themselves in the light of eternity. They need to begin the war against selfishness, and by the strength that God has given, overcome difficulties, bringing themselves into right relation to Him. Everyone will then be very sparing in his condemnation of others, and will seek to gain his reward by trying to help those who need help. An undue estimation of one's own perfections reveals that such an one has imperfections of character that have not been overcome. This is why he is suspicious of others. The Lord calls upon such ones to change their religious experience at once. He calls upon us all individually, whatever our profession or calling, to be Christ-like. The great teacher says, "Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect." Matthew 5, verse 48. Shall we not place ourselves under close examination and discipline, and train ourselves to come under gospel rule as probationers, that we may form a character that will stand the test of the crucible in which all dross is consumed? It is when we realize that we must individually form a character for the future life that we comprehend that a true religious life necessitates growth in grace. When the heart is illuminated by the Sun of Righteousness, we shall see the necessity of taking ourselves in hand. We shall weed from the garden of the heart the evils that make the character defective. We shall deal sternly with self. With the closest introspection, we shall make a careful examination of our temperament and our weaknesses of character. We should deal with our perverse dispositions decidedly and bravely, so that we shall not dishonor God. We need not carry the defects of early life into the manhood and womanhood of our Christian experience. We should leave childish things behind. Ye are God's building. 1 Corinthians 3, verse 9. He is working upon you. And in order to grow in grace and attain perfection of character, you must cooperate with Him. How thankful we should be that the Lord is willing to accept the human agent who exercises repentance toward God and faith in Jesus Christ. Let us never place bars in the way of any soul, so that he will not have courage to engage in the good warfare against Satan's temptations. God has placed every one on his honor to deal faithfully and truly with the defects in his own character, to carry on the warfare against self. Every one should therefore make sure that Christ is abiding in his heart by faith. This is a question of personal righteousness. When conquered, self is hid with Christ in God. It is through the unseen struggles of the inner man, Ephesians 3, verse 16, for supremacy that the world is to be conquered. The crucifixion of fleshly lusts gives the human agent mastery over the devil. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. James 4, verse 8. In the 49th chapter of Isaiah is described the way by which Christ-like attributes of character may be obtained. Listen, O isles, unto me, and hearken, ye people, from far. The Lord hath called me from the womb. From the bowels of my mother hath he made mention of my name. And he hath made my mouth like a sharp sword. In the shadow of his hand hath he hid me, and made me a polished shaft. In his quiver hath he hid me, and said unto me, Thou art my servant, O Israel, in whom I will be glorified. Then I said, I have labored in vain, I have spent my strength for naught and in vain. Yet surely my judgment is with the Lord, and my work with my God.
And now, saith the Lord that formed me from the womb to be his servant, to bring Jacob again to him. Though Israel be not gathered, yet shall I be glorious in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength. And he said, It is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserved of Israel. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth. Thus saith the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel and his Holy One, to him whom man despiseth, to him whom the nation abhorreth, to a servant of rulers, kings shall see and arise. Princes also shall worship, because of the Lord that is faithful, and the Holy One of Israel. And he shall choose thee. Thus saith the Lord, In an acceptable time have I heard thee, and in a day of salvation have I helped thee. And I will preserve thee, and give thee for a covenant of the people, to establish the earth, to cause to inherit the desolate heritages, that thou mayest say to the prisoners, Go forth. To them that are in darkness, show yourselves. They shall feed in the ways, and their pastures shall be in all high places. They shall not hunger nor thirst, neither shall the heat nor sun smite them. For he that hath mercy on them shall lead them, even by the springs of water shall he guide them. And I will make all my mountains a way, and my highways shall be exalted. Behold, these shall come from far, and lo, these from the north and from the west, and these from the land of Sinim. Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountains. For the Lord hath comforted his people, and will have mercy upon his afflicted. But Zion said, The Lord hath forsaken me, and my Lord hath forgotten me. Can a woman forget her sucking child, that she should not have compassion on the son of her womb? Yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. Behold, I have graven thee upon the palms of my hands. Thy walls are continually before me. Thy children shall make haste. Thy destroyers and they that made thee waste shall go forth of thee. Lift up thine eyes round about, and behold, all these gather themselves together and come to thee. As I live, saith the Lord, thou shalt surely clothe thee with them all, as with an ornament, and bind them on thee as a bride doeth. For thy waste and thy desolate places and the land of thy destruction shall even now be too narrow by reason of the inhabitants, and they that swallowed thee up shall be far away. The children which thou shalt have, after thou hast lost the other, shall say again in thine ears, The place is too strait for me, give place to me that I may dwell. Then shalt thou say in thine heart, Who hath begotten me these, seeing I have lost my children, and am desolate, a captive, and removing to and fro? And who hath brought up these? Behold, I was left alone, these, where had they been? Thus saith the Lord God, Behold, I will lift up mine hand to the Gentiles, and set up my standard to the people. And they shall bring thy sons in their arms, and thy daughters shall be carried upon their shoulders. and kings shall be thy nursing fathers, and their queens thy nursing mothers. They shall bow down to thee with their face toward the earth, and lick up the dust of thy feet. And thou shalt know that I am the Lord, for they shall not be ashamed that wait for me. Shall the prey be taken from the mighty, or the lawful captive delivered? But thus saith the Lord, even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away, and the prey of the terrible shall be delivered. For I will contend with him that contendeth with thee, and I will save thy children. And I will feed them that oppress thee with their own flesh, and they shall be drunken with their own blood, as with sweet wine. And all flesh shall know that I the Lord, and thy Savior, and thy Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. Verses 1 to 26.
Are these things true? Or is God tantalizing his people?
God is true and righteous. We shudder at the thought of God's being like an erring man. Concerning himself, he says, For thus saith the High and Lofty One that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place, with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble, and to revive the heart of the contrite ones. For I will not contend forever, neither will I be always wroth. For the spirit should fail before me, and the souls which I have made. For the iniquity of his covetousness was I wroth, and smote him. I hid me, and was wroth, and he went on frowardly in the way of his heart. I have seen his ways, and will heal him. I will lead him also, and restore comforts unto him, and to his mourners. I create the fruit of the lips. Peace, peace to him that is far off, and to him that is near, saith the Lord, and I will heal him. But the wicked are like the troubled sea when it cannot rest, whose waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. Isaiah 57, verse 15 to 21. Then came the word of the Lord of hosts unto me, saying, Speak unto all the people of the land, and to the priests, saying, When ye fasted and mourned in the fifth and seventh month, even those 70 years, did ye at all fast unto me, even to me? And when ye did eat, and when ye did drink, did not ye eat for yourselves, and drink for yourselves? Should ye not hear the words which the Lord hath cried by the former prophets, when Jerusalem was inhabited and in prosperity, and the cities thereof round about her, when men inhabited the south and the plain? Zechariah 7, verse 4 to 7. Shall we not take heed to these admonitions and set our souls in order? The Lord will not serve with any man's sins. Let everyone take his case in hand, setting things in order. Let every man realize that he is to be worked by the Holy Spirit. Christ said, Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. Of sin, because they believe not on me. Of righteousness, because I go to my Father, and ye see me no more. Of judgment, because the prince of this world is judged. I have yet many things to say unto you, but ye cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. And he will show you things to come. He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it unto you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine, and shall show it unto you. John 16, verse 7 to 15. To all who hear my testimony in New York City, I testify that the words which are written in this testimony
are of a surety appropriate to this people. Open the door of the heart to Jesus Christ. Let him come in and take possession of the entire being. As the Lord's commandment-keeping people, do you not wish to glorify his name? Then let every worker walk humbly before him. Come down from your position of self-exaltation and seek the Lord with all your heart and soul and strength and mind. Will you allow Jesus of Nazareth to pass by without receiving the blessing he offers you? God calls upon you to search your hearts and to set in order things that ought to have been set in order before this time. Prepare the king's highway. And the word of the Lord came unto Zechariah, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, Execute true judgment, and show mercy and compassions every man to his brother, and oppress not the widow, nor the fatherless, the stranger, nor the poor. And let none of you imagine evil against his brother in your heart. Zechariah 7, verse 8 to 10. What excellent advice is this! Did the wayward people heed it? But they refused to hearken, and pulled away the shoulder, and stopped their ears that they should not hear. Yea, they made their hearts as an adamant stone, lest they should hear the law, and the words which the Lord of hosts hath sent in his spirit by the former prophets. Therefore came a great wrath from the Lord of hosts. Therefore it is come to pass that as he cried, and they would not hear, so they cried, and I would not hear, saith the Lord of hosts. But I scattered them with a whirlwind among all the nations whom they knew not. Thus the land was desolate after them, that no man passed through nor returned. For they laid the pleasant land desolate. Verses 11 to 14.
Among the shepherds of God's flock there must be no rivalry. And I scattered them among the heathen, and they were dispersed through the countries. According to their way and according to their doings I judged them. And when they entered unto the heathen, whither they went, they profaned my holy name, when they said to them, These are the people of the Lord, and are gone forth out of his land. Ezekiel 36, verse 19, 20. They imitated the practices that were displeasing to God. But I had pity for mine holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the heathen, whither they went. Therefore, say unto the house of Israel, Thus saith the Lord God, I do not this for your sakes, O house of Israel, but for mine holy name's sake, which ye have profaned among the heathen, whither ye went. And I will sanctify my great name, which was profaned among the heathen, which ye have profaned in the midst of them. And the heathen shall know that I am the Lord, saith the Lord God, when I shall be sanctified in you before their eyes. For I will take you from among the heathen, and gather you out of all countries, and will bring you into your own land. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean. From all your filthiness, and from all your idols, will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments, and do them. And ye shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. Verses 21 to 28. Blessed reconciliation! The Lord has set his face toward his people in New York City. In every God-fearing heart, there should be a determined purpose that in New York City, the truth shall go forth as a lamp that burneth. In our large cities, a decided effort should be made to work in unity.
In the spirit and fear of God, the laborers should unite as one man, working with strength and with earnest zeal. There should be no sensational efforts, no strife. Let there be seen practical repentance, true sympathy, hearty cooperation, and decided emulation of one another in the grand, earnest effort to learn lessons of self-denial and self-sacrifice by saving perishing souls from death. The plagues of the Lord God of hosts are in our world. Men and women are perishing in consequence of the judgments that have been sent by Him, because they do not take heed to His works and ways. Nevertheless, they do not say, "Because of our sins the Lord has done this." The Lord has provided a remedy, which is now in the hands of His commandment-keeping people. If the members of God's true church will do their appointed work, they will bring about the recovery of many who otherwise would be destroyed. But they must now begin to work and make an application of the divine remedy. Decided efforts must now be made. The standard must be uplifted between the dead and the living. For all to take the standard of the dead in order to preserve harmony would be poor policy. That which the church can do in the strength of the Lord God of Israel, she must do. Those who are lukewarm will be spewed out of the mouth of God as nauseating, for while professing to believe the truth, they do not practice it. But let there be those who are living a more wholesome life, performing praiseworthy works. Unless the church repents of her negligence and humbles herself before God, she need not expect to see signal victories in the large cities that have so long been neglected. She has kept concealed the sacred truth that has been in her hands for so long a time, failing to use it to God's glory as a remedy to restore in the fallen world the image of God so nearly effaced by His plagues. And she should now lay herself upon the altar of service and work to the uttermost of her strength to save a perishing world. The privileges of the Christian are set forth in the first chapter of Ephesians. Paul addresses his letter to the saints which are at Ephesus and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, and writes,
"Grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as He hath chosen us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace, wherein He hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure which He hath purposed in Himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times He might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in Him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of Him who worketh all things after the counsel of His own will, that we should be to the praise of His glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted, after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of His glory. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers,
that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power to usward who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He wrought in Christ, when He raised Him from the dead and set Him at His own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under His feet, and gave Him to be the head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him that filleth all in all. Verses 1 to 23. We have a testing message to bear to the world. No longer are we to neglect to do the work that should have been done long ago. Now, as never before, should we feel travail of soul for the salvation of people perishing in sin and ignorance. God now calls for men and women to come up to the help of the Lord, to the help of the Lord against the mighty. He calls upon His commandment-keeping people to lift up His standard and in faith achieve victories. The Seventh-day Adventist Church must now repent and heed the message to the Laodicean Church. These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich, and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, and miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and am set down with my Father in His throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Revelation 3, verse 14 to 22.
What shall I do? Is the inquiry now to be made. Shall I strive for the supremacy?
No, no, no! If you will now see that you have grieved the Holy Spirit of Christ, if you will now come into working order and do homage to the Holy Spirit in the office that it holds in the plan of redemption, you will be able to work in cooperation with God. Only in this way can you do honor to Christ's great work. For it is through His mediation that to human agencies are imparted the direct influences of the Holy Spirit, to give power to prayer and to entreaty in a united effort to save souls ready to perish. Christians who love Christ will plead for the conversion of souls. It is this first love that so many have lost. Before the true reformer, the medical missionary work will open many doors. We are God's agencies, appointed to serve Him by doing earnest, thorough medical missionary work. You need not wait until you are called to some distant, prominent missionary field before beginning to help others. Wherever you are, you can begin at once.
opportunities are within the reach of everyone. Take up the work that should be done in your neighborhood, for which you are held responsible. Wait not for others to urge you to take advanced steps. Move without delay, bearing in mind your individual responsibility to Him who gave His life for you. Move as if you heard Christ calling upon you personally to awake out of sleep and to exert every God-given faculty in doing the utmost in His service. Look not to see who else is ready to catch inspiration from the Word of the living God. If you are thoroughly consecrated, through your instrumentality, He will bring into the truth others whom He can use as channels to convey light to many souls in darkness. In the great cities, many agencies are to be set at work. Those who are so situated that they cannot act a part in personal labor may interest themselves in bearing the expenses of a laborer who can go. Let not our brethren and sisters make excuses for not engaging in earnest work. No practical Christian lives to himself. Many frame excuses when they ought not to do so. Some say, "My home duties, my children, claim my time and my means. It takes all the money I can save to furnish them with funds." Parents, your children should be your helping hand, increasing your power and ability to be earnest workers for the Master. Mothers, have you neglected your God-given responsibility of multiplying agencies for the service of Christ? Children are the younger members of the Lord's family. They should be led to consecrate themselves entirely to God, whose they are by creation and by redemption. They should be trained to be serviceable helpers in the various lines of work that they have to do. They should be taught that all their powers of body, mind, and soul are the Lord's. Parents should not allow children to be hindrances. With their parents, the children should share spiritual as well as physical burdens. Line upon line, and precept upon precept, they should be taught to serve the precious Savior. Parents have a sacred responsibility also to teach their children to dress economically. By helping others, children increase their own happiness and usefulness. Keep a little money box on the mantle or in some safe place where it can be seen, in which the children can place their offerings for the Lord. Let the younger members of the family bear in mind that they are to be helpers in the Lord's work. Thus they may be trained for God. This is a grand work for time and for eternity. God wants the children of all believers to be trained from their earliest years to share the burdens that their parents must bear in caring for them. To them is given a portion of the home for their rooms, and the right and privilege of having a place at the family board. God requires parents to feed and clothe their children. But the obligations of parents and children are mutual. On their part, children are required to respect and honor their parents. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Exodus 20, verse 12. Christ said, "For God commanded, saying, Honor thy father and mother, and he that curseth father or mother, let him die the death." Matthew 15, verse 4. He repeated the injunction that is thus given in the Old Testament scriptures, "And he that curseth his father or his mother shall surely be put to death." Exodus 21, verse 17. Solomon said, "Whoso curseth his father or his mother, his lamp shall be put out in obscure darkness." Proverbs 20, verse 20. How are children to be taught what it means to honor their father and their mother in obedience to the commandment? Parents must diligently teach God's commandments to them, instructing them, line upon line, precept upon precept. Those who search the scriptures understand that this sacred duty has been enjoined upon all parents.
Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that ye might do them in the land whither ye go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command thee, thou and thy son, and thy son's son, all the days of thy life, and that thy days may be prolonged. Hear, therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words, which I command thee this day, shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. Deuteronomy 6, verse 1 to 8. Instruction should be given as God has directed. Patiently, carefully, mercifully, diligently, children should be trained. Upon all parents rests the obligation of giving their children physical, mental, and moral instruction. It is essential to keep ever before children the claims of God. The religious training should in no case be neglected. The physical education, the development of the human organism, can be given far more easily than can the spiritual education. To the physical training belong the nursery, the playground, the workshop, the field, the sowing of seed, and the gathering of the harvest. Under nearly all circumstances, a child naturally gains healthful vigor and a proper development of the physical organs. Yet even in physical lines, the child should be carefully trained. But the higher soul culture, which gives purity and elevation to the thoughts and a spiritual fragrance to words and actions, requires careful, painstaking effort. It takes patience to keep every evil motive weeded from the garden of the Lord. In endeavoring to win hearts to Christ, we should employ measures of love. The highest duty of parents is to give to their children a religious training. When parents fail of doing this, the future life of their children bears testimony to their neglect. To allow a child to follow his natural impulses means that he will deteriorate and become proficient in evil. The neglect of training begins to reveal itself in childhood. In early youth, a selfish temper is developed, and as the youth grows to manhood, he grows in sin. A continual testimony against the neglect of parents is borne by children who have been permitted to follow ways of their own choosing. Such a downward course can be prevented only by bringing to bear influences that will counteract evil. From infancy to youth, and from youth to manhood, the child should be under influences for good. In that great day when every case is settled, many parents will be convicted by the charges of their children, who went to ruin because of their neglect to restrain them.